Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You tune in to Youth Talk today with me, Bibi Aisha Lahey, on Radio Islam International and simulcast on Sirius FM. You must be wondering, Youth Talks usually at 10 a.m., today we're at 9 a.m., but today we have a 2-hour slot. So we're going to do full justice to this 2-hour slot with a topic that obviously we're very, very passionate about, a topic that we have been thinking about doing for a long time when it comes to considering circumstances under which children are growing, effects of an absent father, effects of a father who's very present in his children's life, long-term effects of children growing up with a very difficult relationship with their father. So inshallah, today we're going to be discussing the role of a father. And inshallah, we hope, first and foremost, like I said, it's a reminder for myself and then also a reminder to the listeners that, you know, the role of a father is just as important as the role of a mother. Parents are a blessing, they're a gift, obviously, to us. And often what happens is, as we get older, we tend to ignore them. Sometimes we say, you know, we're too busy, we don't have time. You know, work takes a lot of our time, our family commitments. But never forget where you came from. Never forget that these are your parents. When you were little and you asked them like a million questions, they smiled and patiently answered each and every question of yours. Now, as they are getting older, and as maybe their health may be deteriorating, where are we? Where are we? Especially when it comes to our fathers, we forget that this person was your protector, the head of the household, your father. You have rights and duties towards your father, just as your father has rights and duties towards you. So what we're hoping to do is, inshallah, today, like we said, a reminder for myself first and to the listeners. And my guest today, for today's show, is Mulana Arshad Fakir Chobdat. We have Sister Rehana Adam, who is a senior counselor at Islamic Helpline, as well as Mr. Gavin Frank, who is an educational psychologist. So inshallah, we're going to start first with Mulana Arshad Fakir Chobdat. Also, I'm urging listeners that if you would like to share something with us, we always value your input. We look forward to communicating with you. You are more than welcome to call us, inshallah. Our number is 011-854-1548, and we look forward to interacting with you. We're going to begin, like I said, with Mulana Arshad Fakir Chobdat. That he is the principal of Madrasa Muaz bin Jabal in Crosby. Mulana travels locally and internationally to present bayans and has often been a guest on Youth Talk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mulana Arshad Fakir Chobdat, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mulana Arshad, the role of a father. Sometimes we need this reminder because often we forget. And then there's some of us that, you know, our fathers are so dear to us. But when we are young and as we're growing up, we say, that's my hero. And as we get older, we remember that still is our hero. What are your thoughts about that?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallim ala rasulihi al-kareem amma ba'ali. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed us with this beautiful deen. And to all the listeners of Radio Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. It's very important you have made mention with regard to the role of the father in Islam. As we are aware that, like you said, our fathers should be the role models for us and for children from the time they are born right up to the time they pass on. And Islam has laid great emphasis with regard to the father as well. And not only did Islam, you know, after a child is born, did Islam really lay the emphasis to say what type of father one should be. But it is also before the father actually gets married, it is his responsibility that he should choose such a spouse who will be able to bear good children and will be able to be a good mother to his children as well.
Alhamdulillah, I'm so glad that you brought that point up. That is so pertinent because, you know, it's very important that your goals spiritually and your future spouse's goals spiritually should be the same. That whatever it is that you're doing, first and foremost, you're doing for the pleasure of Allah.
Definitely. Whatever you do is always for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, how we can link our family and our children to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know in the Quran and Majid, Allah ta'ala says, Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara, that save yourself and your family from the fire of Jahannam. the father, from the time he is a murabbi, he is a person who is there to guide his children, to bring them up correctly.
And the emphasis on Quran and Sharia regarding the father's status in Islam, if you could please share that with us.
Yes, definitely. I mean, we know that the status of a father in Islam is very great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regard to parents as well, many a times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when speaking about that worshipping Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala makes mention immediately after that of respecting one's parents.
Mm-hmm.
So the parents hold a very, very great a very great responsibility. And, you know, there's a hadith which comes to mind that one occasion a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and complained with regard to his father that he just takes from him, etc. And so the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the son that go and call your father, and he summoned him in the presence of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. And this old man was walking, and he asked, like, what was the reason? So this child must have said, or people must have told him, that, you know what, your son had sent a complaint regarding you to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this particular person, he's now old aged, he's coming to the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then in his mind he's now thinking of those moments of his time when the child was a young boy, and he was young, and many a times you get the restless nights now, and he had to get up, and he, you know, when the child is sick sometimes,
mm-hmm.
you find that the parents will worry more, and when a person, the onlooker, will look at it, you think that the parents are more sick than the child.
Yes.
So this is always the love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in the heart of the parents. And we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he makes mention regarding his mercy, he makes mention that his mercy is even 99 times more than the mercy that Allah has placed in the heart of that mom. So we can understand what love Allah has placed in the heart of one's parents. So nevertheless, this person is now lamenting, and this person is also thinking of all the time that what he spent for this child.
Mm-hmm.
And now this child comes in the court of Nabi alayhi salam, and he sends a complaint mm-hmm. regarding this father when he's an old man. This person comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He greets Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salam says, before I actually tell you why I have called you, inform me with regard to this poetry that you were reciting.
Mm.
He recites this whole thing in a beautiful poetic manner.
Mm.
And while walking to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informed by Jibreel Amin that this person is coming, and this is what you are saying. Immediately this person then recites these poems in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears this, and Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam tells his son, the child of this particular person, and he says, after that you have brought a complaint that your father uses this of yours and takes this of yours, and then Nabi alayhi salam, he said, anta wa maluka li abik, that you and your wealth, whatever you possess, is of your father's. So that even if you are old, your father still has that right in you. Anta wa maluka li abik, you and whatever you possess is your father's.
Alhamdulillah, subhanallah. There's no greater way to put the status of a father in Islam. I mean, that example is so beautiful, it is so heart-wrenching. And yet, like I said, it's sad that we still need these constant reminders that, you know, when you were young, like you say, when you were young, your parents gave you whatever they could. And sometimes you would hear people say, you know, but they didn't give me this, they didn't give you that. But you don't realize, we often don't realize, they gave you what they could, because for them at that time, that was all that they could give you. And it's always about, you know, what didn't they give me? We don't realize, what are we giving them in return? Maulana, when we talk about, you know, the rights of a father or the duties of a father, if you could just talk a little bit about that to us, please.
You know, sister, there are many, many duties with regard that the father has upon the child.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, number one, you choose a woman. Obviously, when getting married, you choose somebody who will be a good mother to the particular child. In one occasion, one person came to Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and he came to complain regarding his father. So, the father came to complain regarding the son to Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala an then called for the son, and he said that, you know, you're a disobedient child. You are a disobedient child to your father. So this boy said, Umar, give me permission. And he said, what is the problem? So the Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and he said, the son, the boy said, that Umar, has a son no right over his father? Mm-hmm. So he says, yes, indeed he has, was the reply of Umar. So the boy then said, oh Umar, what are those rights? So Amirul Mumin radiallahu ta'ala an quoted, said, number one, to select for him a good mother, give him a good name, and teach him the noble Quran. The boy said, my father has not given me any of these things. My mother is a woman who is a fire worshipper. He named me Ju'al, which means like a beetle, something which is ugly and black. And then he has not even taught me the Quran. And Umar, he did not educate me. And this is very important, that we educate our children. When we talk of education, we are talking of education, of teaching them the laws of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, which are applicable to them.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them what Allah Ta'ala wants from them. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu turned towards his father and said, you complain to me that your son is disobedient. Before he could realize it, you have pushed him to be rebellion. You began treating him negligently. So it is the responsibility of the father that together, like we know, that to feed our children, our spouses, etc., it is also important, like financially, to support the family.
Yes.
It is a rule to provide his family with a loving and peaceful atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
and lead his family towards loving Allah Ta'ala, enjoying a successful, happy, and righteous life. It is the responsibility of the father for upbringing his children and teaching him through his example how to be good and a successful person.
Most definitely. Now, Malana, you know what? We have to face reality that, you know what, when it comes to divorce, it is a reality. May Allah make it easy for everyone that is in that situation, inshallah. When it comes to the rights of a father who is divorced, again, you know, there's different scenarios. In certain scenarios, there's lots of goodness and positivity. In other scenarios, it can be a bit of a bumpy road. Sometimes it can be a case where, you know, the child is denied access to the father. Other times, it could be a case where, for whatever reason, the father may not be as present as should be required, whatever the reasons are. But what are your thoughts on that, just for guidance and knowledge, obviously?
Yes, very important. This is something, you know, if you look at it, society, first and foremost, we must understand, we look at it, I mean, you're a teacher.
Mm.
Perhaps you'll be able to relate to it as well.
Yes.
We are teachers as well in the madrasa, and we find that many a times, take a child from a home, which is a normal home, a stable home, and then you take a child from a broken home,
mm-hmm.
you will always find that no matter how or how much the child may have, and I'm talking, I say, from the material aspect,
yes.
but you will find the child, he comes to school or madrasa or in society, you will find the child is always disturbed. And it always has an effect on the children. Many a times, you know, when we do counseling, when you speak to the couples, we'll tell them, you know, think about it again. Because the person who gets the most, who is most affected always in this is the children, the innocent child.
Mm-hmm. And the important thing is also to remember that, you know, you for whatever reason, again, Allah knows best, you can divorce a spouse. Mm-hmm. But you cannot divorce your rights as a parent. You cannot divorce their child. That duty and responsibility is there till your last breath.
And that, if one must understand, like I said, one must understand that the parent, the father will always be the father of the child.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, in our society, and especially divorce is something that definitely, I mean, today people will part. And although it is something which is not liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is permissible because there were situations in the life of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front of him when the Sahaba were there, and they had to part from one another. Then how was it done? In today's time, you know, it becomes so ugly that unfortunately the best of people will turn ourselves to the most worst of people. You know, we'll actually go to that, we'll lower ourselves and we'll go to that level that we normally mention as well. And as I know of many cases where at times it is from the girls' party who will say, you know what, we'll make that man suffer. Mm. We've got millions aside just to show him, when we'll take him to court and we'll make him lose the child. And we put it into the child that, you know, this is not going to be your father. You're not going to get access to this particular person. You know, even if your father is a, even if that father is a drunkard, I always say that.
Mm.
Even if his father is a drunkard, that father is still the father of this particular child.
That
father is still
definitely
the father of this particular boy and girl. He still has the responsibility. Yes, it is the responsibility of the father to clothe the child. It is the responsibility of the father to make sure that the child is educated.
Yes.
It is the responsibility to financially support the child as well and morally support the child and to show the child love. You have to be part of the child's life, as you said. You
yes.
cannot divorce
yes.
yourself from the child. And on the other hand, the parents of the, I mean, the mother or the mother's party or the family members of the girl cannot say, you know what, we will deprive the father from seeing the child. What are you doing? In actual fact, when the I always tell the person, remember, when the child passes away, on the day of Qiyamah, when the child will be brought in front of Allah Ta'ala, the child will be called out. You can change the child's name. Many a times a divorce takes place, we just change the surname. Whatever, I don't want to give surnames on air,
yes,
whatever it
yes.
is. You know, but we'll say, you know what, change the surname. He's now connected to the mother. But when the child passes away, on the day of Qiyamah, when the child will, when the person will be raised up, he will be called up by the so-and-so, the son or the daughter of so-and-so, and the father's name will be called out
yes,
as well.
Yes.
So you can try to take the father out of the life of the child, but you will not be able to take them out completely because even Allah Ta'ala will still call. So we as parents, who and elders who are helping in these type of situations, we need to think about it. That what are we doing? Are we damaging the child's life more? Are we doing anything just to keep our name in society so that we walk up high with our heads and say, you know, we fixed that guy up.
Exactly.
We showed him. He messed
exactly.
with my daughter or he broke, whatever it is. I'm not saying
whatever the scenario is. Gee,
yes, yes,
but also Malana, we also need to say that it can also work the other way around. For whatever reason, there could be a mom, for whatever reason, maybe for a certain period of time, she could be maybe an absent mom and the child is under the care of the father. And then sometimes you could get a father who would say, you know what, I'm going to take these children away from her. She's not a good enough mother. Again, no matter what. Like you said, you gave the example of a man who could be a drunkard. This mom could also be labeled for whatever. But no matter what, she is the mother
she's
of
the
that
mother
child.
And, of this
and no one has that right to take
nobody
that.
Nobody has the right. She's the mother. Even if you get married and bring another woman in her place, she's yet the mother. It is the responsibility that the father gives the mother the right to access to the child. And end of the day, the child needs the mother as much as he needs the, he or she needs the father, and the child needs the father as much as they need the mother.
Most
this
definitely.
Must always put first in front. But yes, we are going through difficulty. He perhaps has spoiled my life. Also, perhaps she has made my life a misery, whatever it may be. But end of the day, she has given birth to this girl. End of the day, he was a means of this girl coming, or just boy coming into the world. He has a responsibility. She has a right towards him, and he has a right towards her. And we need to understand that if we don't have this particular mindset, those particular children suffer. And like I said, you're a teacher.
Yes,
like said,
no, we deal with that,
society,
definitely.
They are suffering quite a bit.
No, definitely. We're going to be talking a lot about that later in the show. But what we're going to do is we're going to break for an ad, inshallah. When we return, we're going to talk more about societal stigmas. And again, you know, the role of a father, if there's a remarriage, you know, clearing myths about stepfathers, and inshallah, we will be talking more. So please, listeners, do call us on 011-854-1548. After the break, we look forward to listening to you and sharing your views with us. We look forward to that, and inshallah, we will be returning shortly. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You're back on to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, on a special two-hour program on the role of a father. Today, as we're speaking to Malana Ashrafati Chabda just now, you know, the role of a father according to Sharia, according to Quran, you know, while sitting in the studio and listening to my guest, I'm feeling very, very emotional. unfortunately, my father's late. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him Jannatul Firdaus. But when I recall my relationship with my father, again, you know, being a daughter, born after 10 years, you know, daddies and their daughters always have a very, very special bond. It's just like that, mummies and their sons, and daddies and their daughters. And to all our listeners, you know, that have lost their parents, have lost their mother or their father, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant your parents the highest place in Jannah, inshallah, ameen, thumma ameen, ya rabbal alameen. But to those of you who are still so fortunate and so blessed to have your parents, even your father, please today, if you can just do this, not for me, do this for yourself and to please Allah. Go to your father, make some time and visit your father and thank your father for being who he is. Thank your father for being in your life, and most importantly, thank Allah that you still have the opportunity to make khidmat of your parents. Because trust me, from someone who does not have a father, it is not very easy to deal with.
Hello.
Not very easy to deal with. Malana Arshad, can you hear us?
I'm very, very faint. I cannot hear it up here at all.
Okay. We're going to just ask the engineer to check on that. But like I said, I'm just sharing with the listeners that please, you know, look at your father, look at him in his eyes, hug him, embrace him, and thank him. Thank him for everything that he has done for you. Because, you know, you may not have that opportunity. And often we think that by us taking care of our parents, whether it be financially, maybe they're living with us, maybe we're younger children, we're thinking, oh, I see him every day. But how often have you actually told your father, Jazakumallahu khairan, for everything that you have done for me, and Jazakumallahu khairan for taking care of me and for being my father? So just something that I would like you to do. For you, for the pleasure of Allah, inshallah. Malana Arshad, if we can, if you can hear us better now.
I can hear you. I can hear you at all. It's very, very great.
Okay, we're just going to again, you know, get our engineer to assist in that regard. But also talking about fathers, Sister Rehana from Islamic Health, I'm just going to add in here a little bit until we get the line better with Malana Arshad. You know, you can see like I'm feeling very emotional right now. I'm missing my father. I think we're going to just check if we can get Maulana Arshad's line but clearer. I think we're going to try getting hold of you again. In the meantime, Sister Rehana, you know, thinking of my father, you can see I'm very emotional right now. I know you're very emotional because you miss your dad as well. You guys had a very close relationship. And what thoughts come to mind? Like, what would you like to remind the listeners who are still so fortunate that they have their dads?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Yes, Sugaisha. It is very, very emotional, but the thing to remember is while they're alive, that is the time that we take them for granted.
We do. Basically. We do.
That's the problem.
We're all guilty of that.
They say, well, you only miss something when it's gone away. And that's basically what happens eventually. So I think the best thing is to remember that nobody's going to be around forever. And you don't know how long you're going to be blessed through the presence of your father.
Most definitely.
So no matter what you think that he's uncool or whatever he is in your eyes, he's still a light in your life.
Yes, most definitely. He's your protector. He's there. And Tama also is an adult woman. Like I said, I'm sitting talking about my home father. And you think to yourself that no matter how old you are, when you are in the presence of your parents, you'll still feel like this little kid. No matter what troubles you may be going through in your life, when you are around your parents, there's that comfort and security to say, you know, my parents are here, I'm going to be okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think we have Maulana Arshad back on the line. Maulana Arshad, can you hear us better now?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I was just talking to Sister Rehana when we were trying to get you back on the line about just reminding our listeners that, you know, when you lose a parent, you actually realize what a big role they played in your life. And for those of us who've lost parents, recalling the fond memories that were spent with them and remembering that we were blessed to have the opportunity to make their khidmat. So just a reminder to say, you know what, look at your father in his eyes, embrace him and thank him for everything that he's done for you. We think that they know that we love them, but you know what, telling someone I love you and showing somebody I love you is very different.
Gee, very, very important that it is, you know, that we only will, and many a times we find it is the Arabic saying that a ni'mah and a blessing will only be appreciated when we lose it.
So
when we lose a bounty from Allah, that's the time we will appreciate it. Sometimes we see, for example, our parents, they are every day in our lives, but the time that they pass on, and when we don't see them any longer, that is the time when we realize that we have lost something great in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I always say, you know what, we want to send the roses when people have passed on. They don't need the roses then, they need it when they're alive.
Yeah.
So to put a rose on the grave may seem very good, but while you're alive, that is the time that they need it. So yes, those of us whose parents are alive, appreciate them, thank them. And I'll just give you, I'll take this moment, you know, one of our very good ulama, who is on the way, airways of Radio Islam, very frequent, one very well-known traveler, the family of Maulana Suleiman Mullah, Hafizahullah, and his brother Maulana Bilal. I had the opportunity of traveling with Maulana Bilal several times overseas, locally as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can ever see in today's times, this is what I've seen, the way they respect their parents and the way they appreciate their parents. Wallah, I haven't heard anybody, not only to parents, but even to their siblings, who anybody tells them on the phone on a daily basis, I love you, my brother, I love you, my sister. Every day, wallah, I've seen it, and this is very tough to me, and I make dua that Allah continue to bless them.
Ameen.
And even if they are traveling, and they could be, you know, on that, if there's a 40,000 or 35,000 feet above sea level, and if they have to spend that money, no matter what the cost is, to make the phone call, just to hear the voice of their beloved mother and father, they would do that.
May Allah accept from them, and inshallah, may Allah grant us the hidayah to follow in their footsteps, because which parent would not be excited to hear from their children? You know, again, like we said, these are things we take for granted. You think that, oh, you know, obviously my daddy knows I love him, or my mom knows that I love her, but actions speak louder than words, most definitely. Klimulana Arshad, now we need to move on again to another reality. You working with the community, doing counseling, working with learners at your madrasa, myself again doing counseling, working with the youth in Indonesia. Reality that, you know what, there is no such thing as a perfect marriage. Reality, there are divorces. Again, reality, there is an inclusion of a stepfather. Again, another reality that there's remarriage, and then there's also multiple marriages, there's polygamy, so there's various children there. How, again, should the role of a father be emphasized there? Again, like we say, you know, you can end a marriage, but you cannot break your contract as a parent. That contract is there from the time your child was born until your eyes close. So what are your thoughts on that? Please share with us.
Very important. Similar to, as we said, divorce. However, multiple spouses, meaning marrying more than one, Islam permits for a man to get married and have four wives. It is something which is permissible. It is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this right to the man. And in no way should we ever speak ill about this particular aspect which Allah has declared something which is halal. Yes, it does come with its pros and cons. Those who are in it will be able to explain more. We just hear it, and many, like, you know, I told somebody the other day, I think it's a desire of every man, or many of the men, to always say, you know what, I wish I could walk with two. But nevertheless, it's important to understand that when a person is taking another spouse, then remember that the child from the first spouse still has the same right that, you know what, she had before this marriage. Although, yes, she's going to feel that vacuum in the home, that where she's to see now, for example, her father every day, she might be seeing him every second day because of the way it is to spend your time and how you have, you know, with your multiple wives and spending of time, etc. But it should never be that the father is not there in the life of the child. He still has the responsibility to nurture the child. And yet, if someone comes and says this can never be possible in today's time, and you know what, how did Sahaba do it?
Yes.
Sahaba were examples not only for the time that they lived in. When auzubillah, people say, no, they're from the camel age. I mean, study the life of Sahaba. Before you do anything, study the life of our beloved Rasulullah s.a.w. Study the life of his companions. They were sent as an example for people till the day of Qiyamah. So if they could do it, yes, we can. But the most important aspect is that we should still continue to understand what our responsibilities are.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, many a times, obviously, we find, especially, give an example, the scenario, Mr. A gets married, he got children from Mrs. A, living a good life, he suddenly decides he has to take Mrs. B. And obviously now, Mrs. B may be 10 years younger, maybe 15 years younger. Obviously the difference is now in a honeymoon period. Many times the person then forgets that he has somebody from Mrs. A as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what we don't want. Islam doesn't say that that is what must take place. No, you still have to be part of the child's life. You still have a right upon her, and she herself has a right upon you, or
no,
he has
definitely
a right upon you. So
yes,
it is your responsibility still. Like how when you have one wife, you have to look after them, it's the same responsibilities when you have two or three, you have to look after the family as
exactly
well.
Exactly. And then again, also, you know, if that responsibility is not met, if the father again may be absent for whatever reason, it's going to cause sibling rivalry, which unfortunately can lead, that sibling rivalry can continue until adulthood, and that's something that we
yes,
also wouldn't, we don't
rivalry
want.
Rivalry is there, there is going to be a little bit of jealousy. I mean, even amongst wives.
Of course.
Even the wives of the Prophet, they used to behave this rivalry.
Jeez,
it is something which is common.
Which is very common,
something
true.
Which is common. The best of women had it. But it's how you deal with it which is important. In the life of, you can in the house of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he had the children of Sayyidina Abu Bakr when he got married to Asma, to the wife of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. After Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha passes away, he gets married to the wife of Sayyidina Abu Bakr. And it is mentioned now he brings up his children together with the children of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala's children.
Mm.
And it was common in the life of Sahaba in that way.
Most definitely. Well, and another thing, very, very pertinent point that was touched on, because like I say again, you can be multiple marriages, but you are still the father of all of these children. So obviously the responsibility doesn't, should not be shirked. The other thing is also, you know, when there's remarriage and then there could be, you know, an introduction of a stepfather. Again, it is not the stepfather's duty to bring up your child. That's still your child.
Yes, definitely. One must understand that if, for example, there is another father which comes in the picture,
mm-hmm.
the mother got married, and she obviously got married, and now there's another father, which we term a stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
His responsibility is to look after his kids. Your responsibility is still the responsibility of the father to maintain, to look after his own child. Yes, if the stepfather does it, he's doing it out of goodwill, he will be rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
But the responsibility still lies upon the shoulder of the father to take care of his children.
Okay, now I need to ask you something, also something that you know, we need a constant reminder of. You know, as our parents get older, say our father gets older, now he's retired, his health may be troubling him, and then the children's responsibility to the father. You know, we've been talking a lot about, obviously, the father's responsibility towards his children. What about the children now? It could be teenagers, it could be adult children, it could be young children. Well, okay, with young children, you know, again, they have a duty towards their father as well. I mean, common one, most obvious would be, obviously, show your father respect no matter what. You know, don't throw a tantrum towards your father. Do not backchat. Understand that whatever it is your father is telling you, it is for your benefit.
Yes, definitely. I mean, like we said, it's not only from the time when you are born, it is the parents who take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
And in old age, it is our responsibility to take care of them. You know, just like how they had the sleepless nights, we can also go through, and we should also go through. Allah bless everybody with good health, but if the situation comes in that way, then it is our responsibility to take care of them. You know, I'll give you an example, which is said, there was an old man sitting outside, and he sees something on a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asked his son, what is that? The son said, it's a bird.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an old man, the son is grown up. You know, after a while, he again kept his son, or he calls his son, and he says, come here, my son, what is that? The son said, dad, it's a bird. He goes away the third time again, dad, he asked him again, what is that, my son? He said, it's a bird. On the fourth time when he asked, the son said, oh, old man, don't you understand? I told you already three times it's a bird. It's a bird. What else do you want to know? He then, tears coming out of his eyes, he opens an old diary.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's there, he says, you know, on this very same day, for example, give an example, the 15th of December, you know, whatever, 1970 something, I opened, you asked me, on the very same tree there was a bird. I was sitting on a couch, and you asked me, Daddy, what is that? And I told you it's a bird. You asked me about 15 to 20 times, and every time I answered you, I did not get upset with you. Today I asked you four times, and you got cross with me. SubhanAllah. What an example. You know what? This is what we said.
Yes.
Think about the days when they brought you up, the difficult times they went through, perhaps, just to bring a joy on and a smile on your face. And now when they are old, then we want to put them in old age homes. Now when they're old, we need to take them out of our life, because why? My missus will not take care. I need to give her all the time.
That is a whole other show altogether. And like I said, may Allah grant us hidayah to do what is right and to please Allah first. You know, that's something that I even mentioned last week in last week's topic, where we spoke about things to do during the holiday period. You know, we always complain that we don't have time. I don't have time to do this, work constraints, I can't do this, I can't do that. Now you have some free time, lots of public holidays coming. What stops you from going to your parents, spending the entire day with them? What stops you from telling your father, your mother, today I'm at your disposal, whatever it is that you need, you tell me and I will do that for you.
Yes, definitely, you know, Sister Aisha, that is, I mean, we all have free time. Yes. During the year, we always are busy. Many a time comes December period, or whenever, those of us who are not going anywhere, when we are going to be around, we normally look for things to do. Mm. I normally encourage the people, among the things that we should put on our to-do list, is to take out time, number one. If you're not getting, if your parents are far away from you, then go spend time with them.
Yes.
Number two, if your parents are not around, or they, you know what, they are with you all the time, you're seeing them, then the second step is go to your relatives. They also have rights to you. Take mm-hmm. your children with. Mm-hmm. Show them who are your relatives. I'm not saying spending the whole days.
Yes.
I know, yes. You know, many times we enjoy going visiting. You're saying this, Morana only wants to spend the time, you know, Abba only likes visiting. The reason is, these people were in your life when you were a child.
True.
You know, you have fond memories with them. They have also now grown old.
True.
Take your children and show them who the family members are. When Allah speaks in the Quran, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَ حَقَّةً, they give your family their rights. How are the children going to know who the family is if you don't show them who the family is? Not every person is, you know, we normally say uncle and auntie. Every person is uncle and auntie. No. Okay, how is this person related to me?
Mm-hmm.
He is my, this is my father's, you know, normally in Gujarati or in Arab term also, we know it. This is my khala, my mother's sister. This is my boy, my father's sister. This is how you have a relation and you teach your children. This is the time when we have in the holidays, we say we don't know what to do. The children are bored. We are bored. Take out some time.
Exactly. And in maintaining family ties, that again brings you so much closer to Allah. Allah's rahmah is showered upon you for maintaining family ties. And again, you know, very important role of a father to maintain their family ties. You know, when a father shows respect to his parents, to his family, to his wife's family, obviously children are looking at you. They basically follow what you do. If you're the role model and this is the behavior that you have towards other people, this is what your children are going to do. I mean, if you're going to be rude towards your parents, or you're not very amicable towards other people in your family, that same treatment that you're giving other people, may Allah forbid, your children should not be giving that to you. You never know, one day, you know, it's learned behavior.
Definitely.
They watch what you do. Maulana Arshad, before we leave you, I just want you to please say something regarding the role of a father. One more time, a reminder to our youth that are tuned in today, a reminder to the fathers that are tuned in today, and the mothers. What would you like to say to all three different groups? Firstly, to the youth.
No, let me tell you, we are all in this situation.
Mm.
We are living in a time where we call trial and error.
Mm.
Sometimes something which could work for us is not working for our child, for our children.
Yes.
We know, I myself have a child who's 18 years. They have different expectations. They have different challenges. They have peer pressure, whatever it may be. However, we should still continue and try our responsibilities of nurturing correctly. And number one, I've come to realize, let's not point a finger at someone else's children, because we don't know whether our children are going through the same thing.
Exactly.
You know what, sometimes what we look at someone else's child and say, look at this child, look at how he's dressed, look at how he's behaving. But we don't know behind our back, our children are the very same. We need, number one, make dua for the children, because the dua in favor of a child is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't lose that opportunity. When we are waking up, take out time, cry to Allah Rabbul Izzah wal Jalal, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us role models for our children.
Inshallah,
and make
Amen.
Our
Amen.
Children make and pious.
Amen.
You know, I remember someone said once that a person went to Maulana Masihullah rahmatullah alayhi, And he said, Hazrat, this is my child, make dua, Allah makes him a hafiz of the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi replied and said, may Allah make him nek and pious. So this person said, Hazrat, make dua, he becomes hafiz. And that Hazrat first said, may Allah make him nek and pious.
Ameen.
And then Hazrat said, make dua, and said, you know, when you're making dua, yes, we must make dua for our children to become huffaz and ulama, but more important is for them to be nek and pious. Sometimes you find, yes, Quran is there, a person becomes a hafiz of the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the child, cannot even see whether the child is his iman or not.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, so it's important, make dua. When you're making dua, that is why the dua of the Anbiya alayhi salam, when they make dua to Allah for children, what is it? Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Allah bless me with pious offspring. And that's important, piety.
Piety
is important. When a person has piety, meaning not outward piety, that when we see him, we know, we think he's a pious person.
Yes.
Piety too, in, out and in, taqwa, etc. Then you will find that will have an effect on the child. So that as parents, it is our responsibility that together, to take our time, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on behalf of for our children. Because their duas, the dua of a father, the dua of a parent is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he makes for his children.
Now, Maulana, for those of us who unfortunately have whose parents have left us, like I said, I do not have a father. There are many other people who do not have, maybe both their parents or maybe one parent. The best gift that we can give to our marhum parents, again, a reminder.
First and foremost, the best that we as parents can do
as children,
is leaving behind waladun salih. When we pass on, we leave behind waladun salih, a good child, pious offspring who will make dua for the parents, and obviously sadaqah jariya, things that by we do and we get perpetual reward.
Mm-hmm.
But by leaving behind this, these children will definitely make dua for us. And I always say, when you make dua for your parents who have passed on, you take your time and go to the grave and go and recite Quran, etc., and make dua for them. Then, or when you take your time on a daily basis, take our time on a daily basis and recite some Quran, do some good deeds with the niyyah that this should be, the reward should be given to one's parents, then you will find that Allah will make it possible, that Allah will make it, that your children will make dua for you. If you don't remember your parents, then don't wish that your children are going to remember you. So we should take our time, make dua for our parents, do any good for the sake of Allah, rescinding the reward, ifad al-sawab, towards our parents, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for all those of our parents who have passed on, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill their qubur and the graves with nur. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the stages and grant them forgiveness and grant them jannah from Firdaus, inshaAllah.
Ameen, ameen, thumma ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Mulana Ashraf Saqib Shavdat, always a pleasure to have you as a guest on Youth Talk. Always there's so much to learn, firstly for myself and for our beloved listeners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance for the outstanding work that you are doing in educating and empowering our youth as well as many people within the community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, and please remember us in your du'as, inshallah.
Ameen, jazakumullah, and requested to the listeners of Radio Islam also, and all those who are listening, to make dua for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us, as well as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our offspring, and may Allah reward our parents in abundance, as well as all my asatiza. It is only through the dua of my parents, as well as the dua of my asatiza and my teachers, that what we are doing today we are able to do. Otherwise we were not capable of doing anything, any of these good works.
Definitely.
But it's only the grace of Allah and the mercy of Allah. Jazakumullah.
Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Barakallahu feek. Ameen. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, like we said, today's a 2-hour show, so we're going to be breaking for news, and when we return we're going to be speaking to Sister Rehana Adam from Islamic Helpline, as well as Mr. Gavin Frank, who is an educational psychologist. So we'll be talking about the effects of absent parents, the effects of divorce, the effects of being brought up by a single parent for whatever reason, and basically the effects that it has on children. So inshallah, please, please, please stay tuned to Radio Islam International with me, Bibi Aisha Lahi. Jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You tune in to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahi, on Radio Islam International. And a warm welcome to our listeners from Sirius FM who are just joining us now. Today we've had a special two-hour program from 9 to 11, and we're talking about the role of a father. Just to brief our listeners from Sirius FM, we spoke to Mulana Ashraf Fakir Chabdat, who is the principal of the Madrasa Muaz bin Jabal in Crosby, also a very well-known alim in Hufaz, who has traveled abroad spreading deen and with lots of pertinent bayans regarding, on pertinent issues that's affecting society. And what we covered was the role of a father in Islam. So what Sharia says about it, what the Quran says about it, duties of children towards their parents, duties of a father towards his children. The reality is that for whatever reasons, divorce is there. When you are divorced from your spouse, for whatever reason, Allah knows best, that doesn't say that you are divorced from your duty as a parent. From the time your child is being born, you are a parent and you will remain a parent until your last breath. So just those reminders, those Quranic reminders that we needed firstly for myself and obviously to all the listeners. Also, we spoke about the Islamic rights of a father who is divorced, a father's duty to his children, irrespective of divorce, irrespective of separation, irrespective of remarriage, as well as the responsibilities of a father who has multiple spouses. So basically blended families, polygamous marriages, again, you can have many children, you can have maybe one or two from one mum and another one from another wife, but they are all your children, and obviously, you know, that responsibility cannot be shirked. So just to recap on what was discussed with Mulana Arshad Fakir Chablat, and moving on, we're going to be speaking to Mr. Gavin Frank, who is an educational psychologist based here in Indonesia, as well as to Sister Rehana Adam, who is a senior counselor at Islamic Helpline in Indonesia as well. To our listeners, we do urge you to please call us on 011-854-1548. You're welcome to share your views with us. Again, something I just want to say again, like I said in the previous hour, for those of us who do not have a father, my father has passed on for 13 years now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant my father and everyone who's lost their father or their parents, genital firdaus, inshallah. And when we think about the memories when we were growing up as an adult as well, having my father with me, I was very blessed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the opportunity to make khidmat when he was ill. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. And for those of us who do not have fathers, when we sit back and we think for everything that they have done for us, and we think, Allah, that, you know what, I was so-and-so's daughter, or I was so-and-so's son, and alhamdulillah for that. But this is something that I have said in the previous hour as well, and I would like to say this again now. For all our beloved listeners, and again, a reminder for me, we often take for granted that yes, my father loves me, or yes, my mother loves me, and I do so much for them. I cook for them, or maybe I visit them. This I'm talking about the older children, or I provide for them financially. Or even if you're thinking of younger children, that, you know, mommy is doing this, or daddy is doing this, and yes, they love me. But how often, whether you're a child that's listening in, a teenager, or even an adult, when last did you go to your parent? Put your arms around them, look them straight in the eyes and tell them, I love you for the pleasure of Allah. Jazakum Allahu khairan for everything that you have done for me and given to me. May Allah reward you. Have we ever done that? Do we do that enough? Sometimes you'll get little children who say the entire day, I love you, I love you, Dad, I love you, or Papa, I love you, or Abba, I love you. But how often do we show that love? They often say, you know, actions speak louder than words. So again, for a parent, don't just take it for granted. Yes, I'm the father, he's supposed to love me and do for me. Or the child saying, yes, you know, that's my parent, they're supposed to do for me. Yes, they have roles and responsibilities that they need to carry out. But how often do you actually go there and say, thank you? How often do you say Jazakum Allah Khairun? How often do you sit on that musalla and thank Allah that you have your parents? Think about those who don't. Just a reminder, inshallah. Okay, Mr. Gavin Frank, good morning and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good morning, Bibi Aisha, and good morning to all your listeners, and good morning to Rihanna. Always good to be back here.
Yeah. Oh, always great to have you. Okay, you heard a lot of what Mulana Arshad had to say, so you obviously got the Quranic ruling when it comes to the rights of a father. So what we're going to discuss on this part of the show is you dealing with children when it comes to emotional issues, like I said, you're an educational psychologist, and Rihanna's going to be contributing as well. Now we're talking about what happens when there is an absent father, and what happens when there is a present father. Now, absence, again, like we said, there could be various reasons. You know, like we said, there could be a father who is ill. Doesn't make him absent, it just means that he can't do as much as you may expect. Another example that you brought up yesterday while we were chatting, which I thought was so, so relevant, a father who is absent because he may be in prison, like you said, or whatever other reason. So please share your views with us when it comes to the difference in a child's upbringing when the child, when the father is present and when the father is absent.
Yeah, not sure. Should I step off?
Please do.
Yeah. Well, look, father, while the focus is on fathers today, let us not forget that a child needs a mother and a father to develop as a healthy individual.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not underestimate the role that mothers play.
No, most definitely, but today the spotlight is on the daddies.
Yeah, sure. And look, there is a traditional role that fathers have, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of being the caregiver, taking care of the family, protecting the family, providing financial support for the family, and of course being a role model in the family in terms of social behavior, emotionally, and in terms of setting an example. And, you know, it reminds me of the time when we were studying and each of us had to do a project.
Mm-hmm.
We did the one on paid reading. You do know about
paid reading. Yes, paid reading.
And we had to conduct that at the schools where we were teaching.
Uh-huh.
And our paid reading involves one of the parents sitting with a child for about 10 minutes where they support the child and encourage and allow the child to make as many mistakes without criticizing, you know, that kind of thing. But we found that in every case where the father said to the child, the gains were always bigger. You know, and that was quite surprising. The other thing is, like, you find sometimes mothers drive. They'll take the children up and down to school, to madrasa, to wherever the children need to go during the day.
Yes.
And then they travel into Durban, and suddenly the children want daddy to drive. You know,
true.
And it's not simply a thing of being biased or anything, but fathers do have this kind of power that they exhibit in a family setting.
Yes.
They are seen as a stronger one. They experienced as a stronger one, the one that makes all the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So from that point of view, the role of the father is, you know, an involved father.
Yes.
Makes a major difference in our families.
Yes.
There are many fathers who feel, okay, it's a mother's duty to bring up the child. But I mean, those roles are changing now.
Yes, yes. The dynamics are very, very different in today's day and age. And also, you know, when we say, you know, like you just gave the example now where, you know, the child will say, okay, let the father drive now. Sometimes also, you know, mommy's with the child the whole day. It could be during the holidays or at any time. And when, you know, the child hears the father pulling up in the driveway and the child runs to the father with arms open, you know, this twinkling in their eyes, and they're like, daddy or appa, or, you know, I missed you, and the whole day I missed you. And the mom's like, but I was here the whole day, you know. They just totally forget the mother, you know, jump on the father's lap. I mean, if you read between the lines, you know, I'm telling you what I did. And then you're sitting on your dad's lap and you're telling him, you know, about what you've done the entire day, and it's like you've just forgotten your mom. But that's just the thing with dads. I mean, also, you know, there's this thing with daddies and their daughters and mummies and their sons. It's always been a very special relationship between fathers and their daughters.
Yeah, no, sure. And while that relationship does exist and the preferences exist, the father has to be there for both
of
sons
course.
And the daughters,
of
as
course.
Well as the mother.
Of course.
Because they have different influences on both children.
Yes.
You know, like for instance, for the boys, it's a role model. It sets the pace in terms of how to behave, how he treats his wife,
yes.
how he treats his family. The son learns from his father what is acceptable and unacceptable behavior.
Very important that you mention that when you said the father is a role model in the sense of how he treats his wife, also how he treats his mother, and how he treats other women in the family, because that will be setting the tone for how this young boy will grow up and treat women, period.
Definitely, definitely. And, I mean, like, in terms of relationships, it develops, the son will develop a way of relating to people in the way that his father has related.
Mm-hmm.
And as well with the girls, you know what I mean? They would look for the same kind of, you know, it becomes normal. In my home, this is how my father behaved. So when they're looking for a husband, or they're looking at qualities that their partner has, they look for the type of qualities that their father had.
Mm-hmm.
And they would treat it as normal what their father did.
Yes.
And sometimes abusive fathers make a young lady tolerant. So she meets up with a man who's also abusive, and because it's been the norm, she's willing to put up with a lot of abuse herself.
That is very true. That is,
you know,
very,
what I mean? So that role model thing, it plays a big role.
And it has its positives and negatives, because at that point the child is too young to distinguish the difference. And then also when you're very young, your father, like you say, is your role model. He can do nothing wrong.
Yeah, sure, sure.
So it's very difficult once they get older. Okay, then Gavin, we're talking about an absent father. If you can just elaborate on that, because there's so many dynamics there. You know, when we say absent father, unfortunately sometimes we can go into judgmental mode, and we need to, you know, move out, step back and think why
the parent is absent. For whatever reason the father may be absent,
mm-hmm.
there's a whole lot of reasons these days. But I mean, there is something missing in that child's life.
Yes.
The whole thing of feeling protected, that lack of protection.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing about finances, you know what I mean? With the father and mother present, there's always a better financial future. With the father absent, those things are restricted a bit.
But aside from finances, obviously the emotional instability.
The emotional instability and just that feeling of, and they're open to neglect and abuse.
No, true. I'm going to get a view here quickly from Rehana. Right, Rehana, we're talking about an absent father. Like we said, whatever circumstances it could be. It could be a father maybe working overseas or very far away. Like we said, an example, maybe the father is incarcerated for whatever reason. Maybe the father's ill. He's got very ill health and he can't obviously spend as much time with his children as he would love to. What are your reactions regarding that when you've dealt with children that may have been through such situations? Are there lots of feelings of anxiety? Are there...
It's always a case where every child,
every child,
no matter which child that is, requires both parents.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, our fathers are our heroes.
Yes.
You know how our little ones say superhero?
Yes.
That's our dads for us. So when is an absent father, like you're asking about absent father, there's like a hole that cannot be filled in the child's life. There's a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what the mommy does to try and fill this gap, this hole, there'll always be something the child's going to miss out on.
Yes.
That role model.
Yes.
That guidance.
Mm-hmm.
That feeling of security.
That feeling of protection. My daddy's here to protect me, whether you're a girl or a boy.
Absolutely.
Whether you are a girl or a boy.
And
Gavin?
As Gavin pointed out as well, you know, the dad has a pivotal role. Pivotal role in the child's life.
Yes.
Very, very important. So no matter for what reason he's absent, that absence will be felt throughout the child's life.
Most definitely. Now, Gavin, now we're talking about, say, maybe a young child, maybe, say, 8, 9 years old. As they move along through the adolescent period into that adult period, is there, again, through your experience with working with a lot of our youth and their parents, or maybe one parent, has that void or that vacuum that Rehana talks about, has it carried on into adulthood? Is there always that searching where I need a father figure?
Yeah, look... You see, the thing is that...
Okay, we have a caller. Gavin, one moment, please.
Yes,
we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Bibi Aisha?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. Sister, how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, who am I speaking to?
Sorry, I want to remain anonymous.
Not a problem.
Asia.
Not a problem at all. Please go ahead.
Okay. I just want to speak on my real life experience.
Sure.
I have very difficult
Sorry, sister, could I ask you if you could please call us again? I can't seem to hear you very clear. If you could please call us back.
I think we can hear you better now.
Let's go for it. Okay. You can continue speaking. I think we hear you better now.
I'll call you back.
Okay, not a problem. Not a problem at all. Sorry, Gavin, you were saying?
Yeah, but like I said, even if a father's absent, they can still develop
healthy relationships.
Yes.
Even though they're living separately.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Divorced parents, the mother and father can still work together for the benefit of the child. The bad thing is that often in a divorce, you find a situation where there's a pull in two different directions.
Yes.
And you know where this love has been so strong and suddenly it's destroyed, then there's that revenge kind of thing. And children are made the victim. You know what I mean? The father and the mother both want to use the child against the other parents, which is totally unhealthy, and it has a terrible effect on the child. The reality is that the two of them together can do a lot to help their child.
Most definitely. Gavin, I think we got our caller. Sorry to interrupt you, Gavin. I think our caller is back online.
Let's see
what she has to say. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Okay.
I just want to briefly, I want to brief you on my life, but I want to just brief you shortly.
Okay, very quickly.
Look, I was married previously, and I had a child from a first marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And then 36 years ago, I remarried, but I was in a very abusive situation where I actually compromised and sacrificed my son, who is 41 years old now. And he has three children, but the circle of abuse is continuing. And he had a very lonely life where the stepfather was abusive, used to beat him up, throw him out to sleep in the streets. But alhamdulillah, the child has sought a spiritual road.
Subhanallah.
He's a pious boy. He's moved away from home because the stepdad never wanted him to live at home.
Mm-hmm.
And he's living in Durban, but he's taking care of his two children now because I grew the three children up.
Alhamdulillah.
He married on his own. He married a white woman who was dysfunctional, who was bipolar.
Gee. Okay, Alpha sister, you was... Okay, what would you just like to say, you know, regarding, like, he's managed to cope, alhamdulillah. How is he dealing emotionally? How is his relationship with his children right now?
The children, the one is 11. There are three children involved here. She abandoned the kids and she left them when they were babies. And she wanted her freedom and her own life. And I grew the children up. I managed the children. I managed the life.
Alhamdulillah.
My life. And with two daughters from my second marriage, I put them through campus. I got them educated, married.
Alhamdulillah,
they develop well. But my son's life is still in pieces. Emotionally and psychologically, you can say he's become psychopathic to a great extent.
Okay, sister, can I just say something here? And if I'm saying something that is not appropriate, then Gavin or Rihanna is just going to jump in here quickly. Alhamdulillah, he's been blessed with three kids, am I right?
Sorry?
He's been blessed with three children, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, so for whatever he's been through, you know, we feel bad for that, but may Allah grant him ease, inshallah. But, we're not seeing the obvious where he's grown out of that stronger. And inshallah, he can make this intention.
No, I'm sorry, Bibi Aisha. I had no moral support at all. I had no family
But sister,
support.
What I'm trying to say is regarding your son, inshallah, he can... You know, strive to give his three children that role of a father that he didn't have. He can, inshallah, make this intention that I'm going to be the daddy to them that I didn't have. And inshallah, I mean, we can break this pattern. Gavin, Rihanna, would you like to just add on that, please?
Sister, I hear your pain, and Allah make it easy for you and your son. But as Bibi Aisha says, the important point is to break the cycle.
Yes.
Not to continue with what has happened in your own life, but to try and improve on that, inshallah.
Kevin?
Yeah, no, sure. He's going to need support.
Yes.
To get out of that situation.
Yes.
And he can make that change, like Rihanna said, to break the cycle.
Break the circle, get counseling.
And on his own, he might not be able to do it. He will need help.
Most definitely. Jazakumallah, sister, for your call. Jazakumallah. Khair, may Allah grant ease, inshallah. Inshallah, Ameen. Okay, just moving along now, I just would like to ask, right, you know, we're talking about divorce, and like I said, you know, it is prevalent in our society. I work with children, you work with children, you know. The thing again is that we always say this, I don't think we can emphasize this enough. You can divorce your spouse for whatever reason, Almighty knows best, but you cannot divorce your responsibilities as a parent. As a parent. Now again, you know, we mentioned as well, Mulana, I should also touch on this as well, that if for whatever reason the mother remarries and there's a stepdad. Now, interesting enough that the caller mentioned, you know, there was a stepdad, and unfortunately her son, you know, had a very negative experience with the stepfather. But also, you know, you do get good stepfathers as well. So we need to also break that stereotype and that labeling, because, again, dynamics have changed reality. Truth, Kevin?
Yeah, no, definitely. There's a big, and there are a lot of good men out there who are willing to play the role, whether it's their own child biologically or not.
But it doesn't mean that the real father, the biological father, is kind of out of the equation. That the ultimate responsibility still lies on him, am I right?
Yeah, and the child would prefer that. There is that bond that is there. And the children would prefer their own, you know what I mean? But if the, in the absence of that parent, if a stepfather comes along, a stepfather can fulfill that role as well.
Okay, no, most definitely. No, we can hear you. We can hear you perfectly. Okay, Rihanna, when it comes to children, I'm not going to talk about very young children because, you know, truth be told, children are resilient. They are resilient. And I've observed it in the learners that we educate. I've observed it in, you know, children within the family. Children are resilient. And also, a lot of it would depend on the parents that are involved. I mean, if I'm going to badmouth the father all the time, I'm not doing good to my child because that is the child's parent. Am I correct?
Vidasha, you are absolutely right. Especially early in the divorce, there's a lot of emotions, and emotions are running high, pain is there.
Yes.
You know, the pain of the divorce, the pain of failure, etc., etc. Do not let your child hear you always talking about your spouse in a negative light. Remember that you are tarnishing you know, the image of your spouse in the eyes of your child.
And
that child loves his dad or his mom. Now, by always talking about the spouse in a negative way, you are hurting your child more than anything else.
Yes.
That even extends to, although we are talking about fathers, we are talking about grandparents as well. You know, when the child goes to visit the other family, if there are negative things said about the spouse, that causes a problem.
That's going to cause a problem, most definitely. Kevin, when it comes to teenagers, and, you know, like we say, unfortunately, when, you know, a separation or a divorce is relatively new, there's still a lot of emotional baggage, so to speak, and this child or children are used as bargaining tools. What have these teenagers said to you? Have you ever met a teenager who said that, you know what, I'm a person here, did anyone sit and consider my feelings?
Yeah, no, sure. Look, Rihanna mentioned one point now about the bad mouth, you know, by the different spouses.
Yes.
You know, and the thing is, the child loves both parents. So if the one speaks bad about the other, either way, the child is going to feel that. And you see, the thing is, like, children experience divorce as a loss.
Yeah.
And whenever there's a loss, there's always anger. Now, if that anger isn't dealt with, it, you know, the child may just push it aside or repress it within, but it doesn't go away. So it will come out at a later stage, and it might just come out wrong if the child hasn't been counseled or supported through the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
You see, children don't have to be victims of this whole thing about divorce. They can still come out winners, but the parents have to empathize with the child. They need to know what is best for the child, what are the child's feelings all about. Because so often they only focus on their own feelings. I'm hurt and this is happening to me, that kind of thing. And that's when the child becomes a victim. But they need to empathize with what is the child feeling.
Yeah.
And how can they support the child? Because the child is experiencing that loss in a big way. And the loss is repeated every time they meet the father, and the father has to go away, you know, those weekends. So those things also emphasize it brings up that loss again.
Okay, now we're
the anger.
Now we're talking about the child, right? Like you say, now when they have these weekend visits, or it could be maybe holidays, half the holidays with one, you know, parent and the other half with the father. Those feelings, like, you know, especially when they're teenagers, do they, you know, that after the anger period goes, there could be this period of rebellion, or there could be this period where, you know, the child just accepted that I'm going to go to this home and go to this home, but this is still my father. How do teenagers generally react to this whole thing? Like, I know it will be different for girls, it'll be different for boys. What are your thoughts on that?
It all depends how the other spouse supports them, eh?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you go into your father and, you know, treat it as a happy occasion.
Yes.
you know, don't get upset, oh, you went to your father again, that kind of thing. Support the whole process, and coming back also, see the positive side of the visit, you know, from both sides. And the child's anger will while they experience it loss, but after a while they realize it becomes a routine. If it becomes a routine, then it's good.
Yes.
You know, okay, I'm expecting my father on these days. It's when parents make promises and they don't keep it.
Yes,
like
I think
the father says, I'm going to see you next month, and he doesn't see the child.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those kind of things actually have a very negative effect. But when there is a routine established, it actually helps the process.
And it could be vice versa also, where maybe it could be children staying with their dad, and for whatever reason, you know, the mom is absent. Same thing, you know, maintain, keep your promises, maintain that contact, and just be present. Okay, what are your thoughts regarding, you know, when it comes to widowers as well, you know, there are fathers who are bringing up their children single-handedly. You know, I've had the pleasure of meeting several fathers, you know, whether it's in family or extended friends, and they are doing a phenomenal job, and that's like a dad playing the role of a dad and a mom, Rehana.
That is really, really... it's not an easy job,
yes,
as we all know.
Yes.
And alhamdulillah, you are right, we have come across many dads who do a phenomenal job, and we shouldn't, you know, not emphasize on that. It doesn't mean just because you're a male that you cannot do both jobs.
Of course.
I think we always, in a sense, because we see our mom doing so much for us, the child is with the mom takes them for all, besides school, madrasa, all the other activities. So you see your mom running around with you, so you know your mom does this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
But as a child, you're not aware what your father is going through in order to put that plate of food on the table,
yes,
in order to put a roof over your head, in order to fulfill all your wants.
Mm-hmm.
And your wants are many. Come on, we know children.
We know how children
are. They're always, I want. It's not even so much about, they stop seeing that their needs are fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
It's always they want something.
They want something.
Imagine the pressure you're putting your father in. He's like in a pressure cooker all the time.
Exactly. And because mom is not there, mom is not home, she's late. You know, daddy wants to go that extra mile.
Yes. He's trying to fulfill both roles. So appreciate it. Make shukr for it.
Of course.
Say thanks. And be grateful that you have such a great dad that's prepared to do both. And many a times, a man will not remarry because of his children. The new wife will not treat the children the way the mother would have treated them.
That's true. And another reality, you know, which is a good thing also, that we're breaking stereotypes, that in that same example that you gave, there could be a reason why maybe a widower would not want to marry again, you know, maybe in the fear that another person could not maybe accept this children. But there has been, again, examples where, again, we're trying to break, you know, stereotypes where the other mom, you know, she's not going to take the place of the mother, but is very good. Given that it has happened, it is happening, and it's something that we need to encourage. Like we said, the family dynamics have changed. We need to embrace it. Most importantly, you know, ask the Almighty for guidance.
Well, definitely. And, you know, like Rihanna was also saying, there's so many men that have actually fulfilling these roles every day in such a positive way.
Yes.
You know, they've really come to the party. Because, and again, it goes back to that person's upbringing, bringing themselves, where the parents were open to him changing his role as a father, to take on the role of the mother, you know, that the mother's supposed to be doing. Because there are some men who are very stereotyped, not all, fortunately, but there are those who are stereotyped and know this isn't the father's job and that isn't the father's job. I'll need to get another wife to do that kind of thing. But there's a lot of things that, and it makes such a difference when the father does it. You know, because it's combined, it's this nurturance combined with the strength and protectiveness. So they can do a lot.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Now, I'm coming back to daddy issues, right? Because sometimes, again, in interaction with the youth, whether it's girls or boys, sometimes you do, you know, get teenagers that, you know, really feel this void in their life that maybe their dad is not there, maybe their dad is passed on, or maybe, you know, that the parents are separated or divorced, or, you know, maybe dad's not well, and for whatever reason the dad is not there. And they genuinely are going through these issues, and they kind of look up to other people as a role model or a father figure on the one hand. Then you could get the scenario where you have children, let's say older children, that sort of just kind of use it as a crutch, like an emotional crutch.
Yeah.
Okay. How would you deal with that?
No, but it's important that the child does something to deal with what he's going through. If he's going to use one of his friends to fulfill that role, that depend on him, that's very good. And if he chooses another role model within the family.
Mm-hmm.
The unfortunate part is that sometimes certain fathers won't change.
Unfortunately,
they sit in certain ways, and they may be present, but not present in terms of what the child needs.
Mm-hmm.
And so these children again grow up with all this anger, and they need to be able to express it.
Yes.
And find other ways of getting help. Otherwise, they're going to carry that with them, and they might end up doing the same thing to their own children.
Yes, most definitely.
So you work with youth groups, sir.
Yes.
No, that's just very positive if they can talk about it.
Most definitely. And you know, a lot of the times it's like, it's that feeling of rejection. My father doesn't love me, that's why he doesn't come. Again, you know, we need to also step back, become empathetic and try and understand, okay, maybe your father couldn't come this day. Maybe ask him why. Don't just label him and start getting negative and start getting all defensive. Life happens. Circumstances happen. It could be a work-related thing that just came up. It could be an emergency. So that's, I think those constant reminders need to be there.
Yeah, no, sure.
And give that person, you know, give them a hearing and just understand what's going on there.
And maybe try and understand where the father's coming from.
Which is very true. And like you said, unfortunately, there are some times that, you know, when dads are not present for whatever reason, they know their children are there. And we obviously pray to the Almighty that, you know, their hearts turn and they realize that I helped bring this being in this world and I have this responsibility and I need to fulfill it. So we can just keep our fingers crossed and hope for the best regarding that. Am I right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. And the other thing is, if you can teach them ways of communicating.
Yes.
Look, they can't change their father.
Yes.
But they can change the way they deal with what they're getting from their parents. And maybe try and find strategies where they can try and get through in terms of communicating or rebuilding the communication.
Yeah, most definitely. Communication is key.
If it doesn't work, it's not the end of the world.
No, most definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to break for an ad. We're going to return. When we return, we're going to be talking a little bit more about the role of a father, the primary role of a father, and inshallah, our closing statements, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khair. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're back on to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Leia, on Radio Islam International and simulcast on Sirius FM. Today, in our special two-hour program, we're talking about the role of a father, where I have with me Mr. Gavin Frank, who is an educational psychologist, and Sister Rehana Adam, who is a senior counselor at Islamic Helpline. Before that, we had Mulana Ashraf Fakir Chabdat. Okay, what we're going to talk about now in our closing statements, all right? Let's, aside from all the social stigmas, aside from divorce, or a parent being deceased or a widower, aside from multiple marriages, aside from whatever the circumstances are, let's just remind ourselves and our listeners and everyone that's tuned in today, the primary role of a father. I would say this, like I said, he's a hero to his daughter, he's a hero to his son. He is the first man that your daughter is going to interact with. So he's going to be this gentleman and he's going to teach his daughter how a gentleman should be treating her. He's going to be interacting with his son. And whether he realizes it or not, his son is observing him all the time. So you are teaching your son how to be a gentleman, how to behave in a manner that the Almighty will be pleased with you. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
Primary role when it comes to reacting towards your spouse, towards your parents, towards society, towards other people, your son and your daughter are watching you and they are going to do what you do, not what you say they should do.
Basically, you are saying Vivesha, role model.
Yes.
That's what you are. And so, if you are behaving badly towards your spouse, if you don't treat her with respect, what are you teaching your children to do? In the same way, if you do show love and affection to her, they're going to think that that's what marriage is about.
And not just to her. We're talking to the extended family, to grandparents, to society,
everyone.
To just to strangers. Kevin, are we correct?
Yeah, no, perfectly. And, you know, the important thing is to be involved and to be present.
Yes.
In a child's life. Even if it's your daughter. If you can get your daughter to, you know, if you can become a confidant to your daughter, what a difference it's going to make in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And often fathers shy from doing that, you know what I mean? They don't want to get that close to their daughters. But, I mean, they play a big role in that. The other thing we didn't mention is in terms of their learning,
mm-hmm.
cognitively.
Yes.
The fathers play a big role in directing their children, in motivating their children, and in supporting their children's education.
Mm-hmm.
And the greater role that they play, the more successful the children are going to be at school. And even those with learning difficulties, the father's attitude and support will help the child not to be ashamed, but to strive to becoming the best that he can become.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that in terms of cognitive challenges, the fathers can make a big difference.
Most definitely. And then also, you know, like we stated, you know, we said obviously fathers provide, you know, that financial stability, the roof over your head, you know, food. But we don't realize that your father, as well as your mother, like I said, but today we're putting the spotlight on the father. Your father, it is his duty, it is his religious obligation, and it is his duty to help, to make, to ensure that you grow up to be a person who will benefit humanity for the pleasure of God. Character building, very, very important. I think that will be the greatest investment. Aside from the financial contribution and buying them these gifts, teach your child to be purposeful. Teach your child good manners, teach your child character, teach your child to be someone that you'll be so proud of. So one day when you need to leave this world, you know that, you know, may the Almighty accept from me that I've brought up these children in a manner that I hope Allah will be pleased.
If I may just add to that, Vivyasha, it's perfect what you said, you know, is absolutely important. Also, remember, spend quality time with your children.
Yes, irrespective of how old they are.
You have to spend quality, you have to know that line of communication has to be open between you and your children.
Mm-hmm.
The question each dad should be asking is, if my child gets into trouble, will they turn to me?
Exactly.
Will they turn to someone else first, then you should be asking yourself the question, why isn't it me?
And I can turn the table around and say now that when, you know, we adults, if your parent is going through something difficult, do you have that communication line open? If your parent is going through some difficulty, will your parent turn to you? And if your parent didn't turn to you, you need to be asking yourself, am I doing my job correctly as a parent? Because after all, life is full circle. Am I correct in saying that, Gavin?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Work both ways.
Two-way thing.
Two-way thing. Communication with parent to child, and later, obviously, when the children are much older, your communication and your interest and investment of your time in your parent.
And obviously your children are watching.
Your children
what
are watching.
What you invest in your parents, you are teaching them.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And you're teaching them how to treat you.
Absolutely.
You're teaching them how to treat you.
Legacy you leave behind.
Legacy that you
very
leave behind. Okay, to...
If I share one more thing.
Quickly, sorry,
Gavin.
We will
never exhaust this topic.
Yes, I know.
We need lots more time.
But we just have two more minutes, unfortunately.
Yeah. So just the one thing is that the parents have to show unconditional love for the child. Not always for his actions. You have to be very strict about what's acceptable and unacceptable behavior. But in terms of loving the child, it's like, I hate the sin, but not the sinner.
Exactly, exactly.
And that will make a big difference.
And everybody has the ability to change. Every morning that you wake up is a new beginning. Mr. Gavin Frank, thank you so much for your valuable contribution towards Youth Talk throughout the year. May the Almighty bless you in abundance. Sister Rihanna Adam, also always a pleasure having you with me on air. Again, we always learn so much from you. I learn so much from you. May the Almighty reward you in abundance as well.
Allah
may
Allah accept from all of us.
And to my beloved listeners, I'm going to say this again now for the third time, because I think this is so important. Irrespective of how old you are, please, please go up to your parents, to your mother and to your father. If you don't have one parent, you have the other parent, go up to them. If you don't have any parents, go to your musalla and tell this to Allah in sijda. Remind your parents of how much you love them. It doesn't matter whether you are 5 or whether you are 55. Thank your parents for everything that they've done for you. Tell them thank you. Embrace them, hug them, kiss them on the forehead, because that is the greatest sign of respect and love, is to kiss somebody on their forehead. Tell them how much you love them and thank the Almighty Allah for blessing you with these parents. You may think that my father's not good enough or my mother's not good enough. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose these people to be your parents. Show gratitude. Thank Allah for them and thank Allah for blessing you with the opportunity to still have your parents. Because think of those children, think of all these orphans around the world who don't have parents, think of people who's lost one parent. Because again, this is a point that I cannot say enough, what we take for granted, other people are praying for. On behalf of myself and my engineer, Shu'a, we thank all of our beloved listeners. Jazakum Allah khairan to all our guests. May the Almighty accept our efforts, and it's the holiday period. Please have a beautiful time with your families. No excuse to say no time, I'm too busy. Make the time. Tomorrow is not promised. And most importantly, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And remember, ibadah goals, perfect time to work on ibadah goals. We can be on holiday, but salah and ibadah doesn't stop. Please remember us in your du'as. May Allah take you safely wherever you may be going. If you are traveling, may you reach your destination safely and return home safely. Jazakum Allah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
After devastating earthquakes recently rocked the Indonesian island of Lombok, some 390,000 people were displaced and over 80,000 homes were damaged or destroyed. The Al-Imdad Foundation started its response just hours after